Who could enjoy something warm, gold, and wet? How much more disgusting could one man's mind get? I'm so mortified, and I hope I forget that this ever took place just 'cause I lost a bet. This is stupid, I tell you, and unsanitary, but pleasuring you is this burden I carry. Okay, I get you're impatient. You still gotta wait for the stream to be nascent. Oh my God, here it comes. I'm peeing on you. Hee-hee, this is silly. Can't wait till I'm through. Oh my God, gross. Some got in your mouth. Wait, did that actually make me aroused? Now look at you. You're all soaking and wet. You dirty little whore. This is just what you get. If you want any more, you better show me you know how to beg. Well, I really didn't see that coming. And now I see it in a different light. Down while I chug this Sprite. I'm sick of you pushing my limits, and I'ma take it out on your face. I'm peeing all over your mustache, so tell me, how does it taste? When I pee on your mouth, pee on your mouth.
Welcome to the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast, the original sex and storytelling series featuring real people and rock stars sharing their bona fide sexual adventures. And now, here she is, Bawdy's founder, the grand dame of dirty storytelling, that impresario of pervy personal narrative, sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. We're still doing it. Are you amazed? I'm kind of amazed. It's still happening. So we have a new song from Rachel Lark that is on this episode. Lark often will take a theme of an upcoming show and she will write a custom song for it. This song is from our show Didn't See It Coming, which is also the name of the song. And it's probably my current favorite song by her. And I love every song that Rachel Lark does. If you love her music too, you should go to her website, which is rachellark.com. You should see where she's going to be performing. She tours all the time. And you should buy her music because she is incredible and there's no one like her. This week's episode features a storyteller who throws her own storytelling parties, and her dream was to be on stage at Bawdy Storytelling. We worked really hard on her story together, and what happened on stage was incredible. She got standing ovations, y'all. This story was recorded at our San Francisco main stage show. The theme of the night was, "It seemed like a good idea at the time."
Yeah, I think so. So I'm 18 years old. I'm high as fuck. I'm naked and I'm dripping wet in every way imaginable. I'm being led down the hallway by this most gorgeous Italian man. He's leading me into his bedroom, and I want this man in a way that I never thought I could want anybody. My name is Lacey Lou Engelpleck. A little known fact about Lacey Lou Engelpleck is Lacey Lou is not my actual real name. The Lou part I actually picked up along the way, but Winkleplek is the real deal. As you might imagine, elementary school was fucking hell for me. I've heard it all from Wiener Pecker to Wrinkle Prick. Right, Winkleplek. And even one little bitch thought it was funny to call me Winkle Plaque, like plaque on your teeth. Yeah. Kids are creative and also very mean. But despite the warfare on my last name, these weren't actually my least favorite of my nicknames. Now, my least favorite nickname was Ugly Girl. Now, how it worked being the ugly girl at Ocean View Elementary School, which is in a small town in San Luis Obispo County, was simple. Kids would see me, they'd yell, "Hey, there's the ugly girl." They'd chase me, they'd kick me, and inevitably, I'd end up eating lunch in the bathroom with a fat girl. Now, it never got terribly violent, but but it was terribly traumatic. Now, in addition to being a Winkleplek and to being the ugly girl, I was also a very late bloomer. And what I mean by that is I'm 36 now, and I really just developed breasts a couple years ago when I got pregnant with my daughter. I got teased about this a lot. My family would seize any opportunity to make fun of my mosquito bites, and kids were relentless as well. I remember being in about fifth grade and having Dylan Green come up to me and grab at my empty chest and then yell to everybody, "There's literally nothing there." Yeah, it was awful. But I'd go home and I'd play with my Barbies, and I'd imagine that when I was 16, I would have a body like Barbie, and I was gonna be a stripper. Right? Because even at that young age, I knew the power that came along with beauty, and I wanted that. I wanted to inspire passion and longing in people rather than this gross repulsion I seemed to be bringing out in everybody. But I had a plan. I started wearing a very padded bra and packing on the makeup at a really young age. In fact, nobody, not even my own mother, saw me without makeup on from the time I was in about fifth grade until after I graduated high school. I wanted people to like me. I wanted people to love me. But I just honestly felt like the way that I appeared naturally was unlovable. But with my fake boobs and my painted face, I had everybody fooled. Until swimming in gym class, of course. There was no fucking way I was gonna get into a bathing suit in front of everybody, boys and girls, and then submerge my face underwater and wash my makeup off. No way. So I failed gym. But what I did succeed at, however, was losing my virginity at a very young age and fucking my way through Aurora Grande High School classes of about 95 through 98. I know this sounds terribly cliche, insecure girls, wants the boys to like her so she fucks them. And that's true, touche, partly. But it was really the beginning of me grasping a much bigger concept. See, I wanted to be like Barbie. I wanted power. And I knew that with sex came power, but I was just really confused as to how to make that work for me. See, this is the danger of adolescence, right? Is we're dumb, and we're young, and we're trying to figure things out in the flesh, and we're fucking it up. Because if you're a young girl, I don't care what you look like. If you're a young girl and you're gonna fuck some geeky, inexperienced 15-year-old boy, he's gonna want you, and you're gonna feel powerful. It's just not a complete picture, right? Because see, in those days, I definitely was never coming. I didn't think that was an option for me. I mean, I tried to play with myself to no avail, but it wasn't ever really about me receiving pleasure. It was about the performance. It was about feeling wanted. It was about power, right? See, in those moments of fucking boys that didn't really like me, I got a taste of power. Because they were looking at me, and they were still coming. So in those moments, I was all right. Now, fast forward to after high school. I had kind of dabbled in the Jesus movement for a little while, and that didn't really work out for me so well, so I dived into the hippie cult. So I'm 18 years old, it's summer of 97, and I find myself in Arizona at my very first rainbow gathering. Right. So for those of you who've never cared to get stinky enough to end up at a rainbow gathering, let me break it down for you. It's basically this. 50,000 really dirty hippies show up in a national forest somewhere, and they burn sage and ohm in big circles, and they cook in solar ovens and shit in holes and hug each other for really long periods of time. I'm sure that this sounds awful to you, but to me at the time, it was really wonderful and lovely and healing. And it was great for me to be around a community with so much support. But even there, guys, even there, I would wake up in my tent and I'd cry as I'd lacquer my face, knowing that even there, those brothers and sisters would run screaming if they saw the ugly truth about me. There was literally nowhere I felt like I was acceptable. So I came home from hippie camp and just kind of picked up with my life where I left it off. I was working at this really cool coffee shop in Pismo Beach called the Black Pearl. And the Black Pearl was a sort of dark brick lane place that you'd go to read Joseph Campbell and chain smoke cigarettes and play chess and talk philosophy all day. It was really just my flavor. Well, I was the manager there, and so as the manager, being the fucking hippie bohemian that I was, I made it a policy that you didn't have to wear shoes. So there I was, barefoot, slinging espresso drinks, when in walked my version of hippie god, Marco Benito Crescione. You can't make this shit up. Now, to paint a picture of what deliciousness looked like to me at the time, Marco was really skinny, tan, Italian Jesus. He was beautiful. He had these bright green eyes, and he had long, brown, flowy hair that was sun-kissed from so much time in the ocean. Marco always had a guitar strapped to his back, and he had his dog with him wherever he went, and his dog had this really long, hemp-braided dog leash, which, guys, he braided himself. I know. Swoon! So this guy was on fire, and I was on fire for him. So one day when he left me his number, I was shocked and confused, but of course I called him, and we quickly formed this really sweet relationship. I mean, our love for each other was absolutely cheesy. We would literally take long walks on the beach together. We would hold each other for hours and tell each other our secrets. We would make love to Sarah McLachlan songs. Serious. I felt so loved and so accepted with this guy. So when he asked me to take ecstasy with him, I didn't really hesitate before I said yes. I would have done anything with this guy. Now, my experience with drugs up until this point was really limited. I had eaten acid once, and that's when I broke up with Jesus. It was a super scary trip that's for another time. I had eaten mushrooms once, and the guy I ate them with told me I was the Antichrist and he needed to kill me. It's also another story for another time. But it makes sense that I went into this experience with a little bit of fear. But it was Marco, and so I really trusted it, and I looked forward to it. And plus, I always kind of thought that ecstasy would be like a big warm hug on shag carpeting anyways. We took the pills at night, right? So we took the pills at night in his apartment, and I remember the lighting was low and perfect. We listened to Alice in Chains' Jar of Flies. Which, if you get anything from my story tonight, it's that Alice in Chains' Jar of Flies is an amazing album to listen to on ecstasy. Note it. And we also gave each other hand massages with ice cube and peppermint essential oils, which is also another brilliant idea. I remember getting lost in this lava lamp that was definitely on for way too long, because instead of breaking and making a bunch of bubbles, it was actually stayed connected in this sort of tornado shape, and there was this like power of hot surging power that would just like go up and down and up and down, and I got lost in it and started waxing poetic about like what it all meant, man. It was like super deep to me, and I talked on and on and on for so long, and then finally I broke the silence and realized that Marco had just been staring at me this whole time. And I looked up at him, and he had his hand to his heart, and he said, "Lacey, you are so beautiful." And that's when it just kind of broke for me. I was beautiful? Wasn't that the fucking elephant in the room? Now, it wasn't the first time that he or anybody else had told me I was beautiful, but it was the first time that it set with me like this. It was the first time that I didn't just immediately placate his need to be a good boyfriend. It was the first time I let it sit in my gut as an actual lie. And so I looked at this beautiful man telling me this really sweet lie, and I wondered if I could be so vulnerable as to be so brave and tell him how I felt. I just stared at him, and then my mouth opened, and the words just kind of fell out. I told him how I felt about my stringy hair that I never knew what to do with, how I felt about my like long, gangly body, my skinny legs, and my you know, my buck teeth and my pointy angular features, my pointy, and just went on and on and on and told him about how I felt about myself. And he was great. He just held my hand and listened. He didn't do that guy thing where he tried to fix it or convince me that I was wrong. He just listened. And when I was finished with my confession, he excused himself and left me alone with my thoughts and that lava lamp. And a few minutes later, he came back in the room and he grabbed me by my hands and he led me down the hallway. He opened the bathroom door and he had lit candles all in the bathroom and he had run us a bath. As Marco undressed me, he undressed me slowly, and with each part of my body that was exposed, he ran his fingers along me gently, giving me goosebumps, and he kissed my flesh until I was naked, and he led me in the bath with him. And then before I could protest, he had a warm, wet washcloth on my cheek, and he started washing off my makeup, stroke by stroke. And with every stroke he would take, he looked me right in the eyes and he said, "You are beautiful. You are beautiful." Until my face was totally clean. He had washed off all my makeup and like years and years of my shame. And now again, it wasn't the first time that he or anybody else had told me I was beautiful, but it was the first time that I ever let myself just shut the fuck up and be beautiful, you know? Like, what we do when people tell us we're beautiful is we just kind of go into autopilot and we say, oh, like, what, this old thing? And then we change the subject and move on, and right? But there in the bathtub that night, I was able to just soak it in and just able to really be present with that and just really actually feel beautiful. So when he took me by the hands and he led me out of the bathtub, I felt like a new woman. Like I had left so much bullshit in the bathtub with the remnants of my makeup. Instead of these long, lanky, skinny legs, I felt these long, lean, sexy legs. I loved the way that my wet hair stuck to my back and dripped water down my back. I loved the way that my wet legs felt walking when I was walking, just rubbing against each other. I loved the way that this man's body looked in front of me, and I wanted my fingers down his back. I wanted to pull his hair. I wanted to push my body up against his. I wanted to explore this new feeling that I had in my body, this freedom. I wanted to play. So when Marco was finally inside of me, I felt like we were that lava lamp. I felt like this unbroken river of connection between us. I felt this hot, juicy power surge running between us that we were sharing. It was going up and down and up and down and up and down until finally I came. And it was the first time, like, as in ever. As in literally. Right. Right. But be assured, guys, I creamed those motherfucking sheets like a goddamn pro. Now, this story that I just told you, it's not unique to me. I mean, obviously the like I had my first orgasm in ecstasy part is probably unique to me. I'll take that. But the story about a person who's traumatized by this internal dialogue that keeps rolling through their head that tells them they're not pretty enough, not strong enough, not tall enough, not smart enough, not whatever the fuck that it is, we all can relate to that. We all have this thing that tells us these awful things. But I also know that somewhere inside of you, you know that it's bullshit. Just like somewhere inside of me, I knew that I didn't really want to be like Barbie because I'm fucking real. So So I want to stand up here and I want to tell you that regardless of what they've told you, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. And you absolutely deserve the space that you take up. And you absolutely deserve your voice, and you absolutely deserve your passion, and you absolutely deserve the most juicy, delicious orgasms. And I hope you're giving that to yourself often. Thank you.
Wasn't that a beautiful story? She got a lot of love for sharing something so personal and so vulnerable, and I was so proud to have that on my stage. I was recently in Chicago doing a live show, and somebody who was visiting from Milwaukee came up to me after the show with, you know that look people give you when they have the big eyes and their mouth is open, like, holy shit, that look of shock. And I was like, what, was it okay? And she was like, this is so not what I expected. This was so much better than I expected. I'm like, what did you think body storytelling is? And she said, I don't know, maybe I thought it was, I don't know, maybe raunch for raunch's sake. We knew you were about sex, but we had no idea it was so powerful and touching and motivating and that it brought people together in this way. And that's part of why we're doing podcasts now, so that you can understand that sex is just not watching porn and sex is not being blue just because you like to shock people. It's about showing that part of yourself that you only show to somebody maybe in bed or maybe eight people in bed. And that side of you is something we all want to see. The side where your guard's down, the side when you're showing us the real you. We get to see it in bed, but now you get to see it on stage. And if you'd like to see that on your stage in your city, just let us know that you want Body to come to your city. I'm Dixie at bodystorytelling.com. I can tell you how to make that happen. Milwaukee is already begging for us, and I want to come to your city next. People have started supporting our Patreon to help us grow this podcast. And I don't think I've seen your name up there yet. So check out our Patreon. It's patreon.com, patreon.com/body. You know how to spell body. You already looked it up on iTunes. You found us. You know what you're doing. Take a look at it. Look at the rewards. You can have things like sex advice from me. That's a bad idea. Let's do that. You can also have story coaching from me. And there are still a few spots left in the Body Hall of Fame. Want to know what that's about? Go to patreon.com/body and take a look. We'd love to add your name. Thank yous go out every single time for the people who have made this possible. Our podcast producer, Matthew Martyr, David Grossoff, who records sound at our live show in San Francisco, Crystal Crow, Ty McKenzie, Terry Angst, Ruben Tan, Joe Moore records our video. Okay, that's it. Did you want more? We're going to have more for you soon. Help us get there. And pretty soon, this is going to be a full-on episode. Not one story, one song, but so much that you're going to go, I'm tired of that woman's voice. I wish she'd shut the fuck up. Okay. Oh, it's a podcast. I'm not supposed to say that. That's not what's going to happen. You're not going to say that, right? If you want more, tell people to listen and maybe it'll keep happening. Maybe not. I don't know. If you support it, if you review it, if you subscribe to it, they will come. Sorry, that happened. See you soon. Bye.
Good morning, sweetheart. I hope you've slept well. I've been up for a while. You can probably tell I've been doing some research. I found some neat facts. Don't get up. Here's some fruit juice. Sit back and relax. I see there's a BDSM munch that we should attend, and on Wednesday, a party I would recommend. Here's a book about paraphilia. Ours is called Urolania. It's real. Yeah, they say it's safe if we start midstream. Apparently, we should avoid meat and cheese. Believe it even whitens your teeth. What's that? Sorry, no coffee. We should avoid caffeine. All right, let's get started. Finish your juice. Wait, where are you going? Don't waste that, you douche. Why are you walking away? Please don't slam the door. Well, I really didn't see that coming, and now I see darling, you're in trouble now. 'Cause I feel like a whole new woman, and the world is my toilet tonight. And if anyone out there's judging, maybe your pelvic floor is just too tight. Maybe it's just too tight. Maybe it's just too tight.
They're going to hear you huffing and think something's happening. They're going to think I'm rubbing one out, buddy. Go on. No. I'm going to tell stories to you. What do you think about that? Oh, want to hear a story? You do? He's like, I want some more sweet potato treats, bitch. Okay. Stop huffing. Go on. Okay, if you hear that huffing in the background, that's my dog, Quake. I swear to God, it's not what you think. There's just a St. Bernard in the room.